live from the studios in Eugene, Oregon. It's Oregon Update with your host, Cliff and Robin, along with former Lane County Commissioner Cindy Wheeldryer and Pastor Bradley. Join us for a roundtable discussion of what's in the news today. And now, here's your host, Cliff and Robin.
Wednesday morning once again. I think it's almost summer. This is Robin, and welcome to Oregon Update, along with my co-host, Cliff. Say hi, Cliff.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
And with us at the round table is former Lane County Commissioner Cindy Wheeldryer. Say hello, Cindy.
Good morning. Happy Wednesday.
Yay. And also joining us at the round table is Pastor Bradley.
Good morning.
Good morning, everybody. It's going to be kind of an interesting show today. I think the topic might kind of, at least when I read the article, kind of gave me a what the, fill in the blank. But we'll get into that about 5 minutes into the show. So how's everybody doing with spring and their allergies?
Well, the allergies are bad, but I can give you a little hint. I don't know that it's really spring. Our temperatures are long ways from being spring-like. I mean, we're not going to get to 70 degrees today. It's going to be sunshiny part of the day, but and I like it because I don't have to use air conditioning or anything, saving a couple dollars.
Well, of course, in the city known as Atlantis, otherwise known as Eugene, Oregon, anytime it's not raining is a good time.
Yeah, really.
It is a beautiful sunshine here on Wheeldryer Hill.
It is. See, we get a lot better weather than good old Eugene does for some reason or other. We're 17 miles away, but our weather is significantly different. Considerably warmer and considerably colder and less rain and less wind. We live in this little banana belt.
Of the southern Willamette Valley, yes.
That's right. But speaking earlier of allergies, a couple of years back, our former governor, Ted Taxengalls Mikulengoski, decided in his war on methamphetamines to require typically over-the-counter prescriptions that had, I can't pronounce what it is. Cindy, you might know what it is. But anyways, an ingredient that is constituted in producing meth. And they made a lot of the over-the-counter prescriptions or over-the-counter a prescription only, and some are not even allowed or not even available in Oregon anymore, one of them being Brodcade. And ever since then, because I have asthma and hay fever, I have been suffering like crazy.
Go, same here.
We went in.
I have allergies. This is the first year that I have had allergies.
See, that's my problem. I have never been, until the last two or three years, I have not been aware of having a problem with allergies. Of course, I realized the other day, I used to think every spring I got sick because of the change in weather, and every fall I got sick because of the change in weather. And now I realize that it's actually just an allergy that I'm reacting to and have been reacting to for years and didn't know it.
Oh, yeah. They say that if you live in the Willamette Valley area, you're not going to be here more than a couple years before you get an allergic reaction to hay fever. And in fact, I believe the Indians call this area the Valley of the Death.
You know, I hate to tell you this, but almost everywhere I've ever lived, I've had the same basic theories thrown at me, that there's always something wrong with the valley that's going to get you. So it's nothing new.
Well, I've lived in this valley for 31 years, and last Friday I went to an outdoor concert at a local vineyard, and the next morning, I looked like I'd gone a couple rounds with Muhammad Ali. My eyes were so puffy and red, and now it's just my nose is running. It's just nasty, and I'm surrounded by grass fields here on Wheeldryer Hill, so I'm not having a good spring now that spring has finally arrived.
Well, you need to talk to somebody about what medicines to use because you can do.
I'm on some of the ones you see on TV right now, and that's helping, but it's still kind of a miserable experience.
Is that the ones that give you the big long list of side effects, including the visit from the devil, bug eyes, and It's like, oh, yeah, sure. You know, I could possibly die from taking this stuff. I'll call my doctor immediately and order some.
That's almost anything you buy, you take nowadays is going to have that as the after effects. I swear to God, a lot of them, the after effects are much worse than what you originally had.
Exactly. And speaking of after effects,
people still spend billions of dollars to get sick.
Speaking of sick, why don't you give us a call? 647-219-887. So I always try to sneak this in whenever I can.
I'm not sure if I like the way you sneaked it in that time.
646-721-9887. You can join us in the Blog Talk Radio chat room. Our chat room at our new chat room at the CaribbeanRadio.com apparently is down at the moment. We got server problems. You can also send us an email, talk@CaribbeanRadio.com. We're also on Facebook, Twitter, and iTunes. We're just all over the place.
We're out there.
Really? Yeah. Being on iTunes or whatever it is, I'd like these new telephones that you can carry around with you and you can use them like portable radios. We got to be on those.
We're working on it. We're working on it. We can only do 15 things at once, you know.
Well, that's being very, 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 very.
But I also wanted to kind of give a shout out to our last week's guest, Daniel, who came in and we talked about alternative energies and using ammonia. It's very informative. And again, I wanted to thank Daniel for coming on the program and spending most of his time with us.
Yeah, I did a great job, and I'm really sorry I had to not be here. I was all prepared to be right here and make all kinds of wild ass remarks and things like that, and didn't get to do it.
And I was out of town, away from a computer, so sorry.
That's right.
Well, I was away from the computer. I just listened later.
Are technically known as you guys are out on other assignments.
Where?
Yes, we were out on. I like that. I was away on assignment.
That's right. He's away on assignment.
We held it together pretty good, though.
Good. Glad to hear that. We'll have to get back to that topic again in a few weeks so I can get my information, impart my information to everyone. That's a lot of. When is that thing in Portland?
That is, go back to my notes here. As my computer is.
It's an alternative fuels conference.
Yeah. I just didn't remember what day.
It's on. If you go to last week's show, there's actually a link. Information on that.
I'll look it up then.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking I'd want to do that before that show goes, before that program takes place.
Yeah.
So that I can warn people to not listen or something. Or maybe to listen closely because they may have information. Hopefully they'll have some information that's really good. You never know.
That's true. No, he was very, very informative.
I know he was. I really enjoyed him.
So anyways, again, Daniel, we appreciate you coming on the show. Feel free to give us a call anytime.
Yeah.
And speaking of, I have a What the Heck Are They Thinking segment.
Really? What the heck are they thinking?
Exactly. And which will lead us into our main topic. And we're also, later on in the program, we're going to talk about the presidential debate and how that went. So again, you know, give us a call anytime right now. Anytime right now. 646-721-9887 or join us in the chat room.
You have got to be kidding me. What the heck were they thinking? Can you actually believe they did that?
It's Robin's What the Heck Are They Thinking Award, where Robin picks out some of the dumbest and most ridiculous headlines of the week. And now, with this week's picks, here's Robin.
Okay, and trying to read my script through my allergy-driven eyeballs. In line with today's topic of government out of control, our first award goes out to the Department of Education and local law enforcement authorities in Stockton, California, for sending a team of officers to a Northern California man's house at 6 a.m. Tuesday morning.
6 a.m.?
They were early.
Boy, I guess.
They were actually scheduled to bust the place down at about 7, but, you know, they showed up early. They kind of wanted, you know, not be late. Anyways, and tackling Kenneth Wright in his front yard, handcuffing him, putting him in a patrol car along with his three children, ages 3, 7, and 11, so agents could search his home. Upon release, Wright later contacted both the mayor and the Stockton Police Department to find out who was responsible for the raid and was told that the U.S. Department of Education had issued a search warrant for his wife's delinquent student loan.
Oh, my God.
No way.
I believe that he should be able to sue them for probably, you know, okay, there's two things here. First of all, I don't believe in being able to sue for $100 million and that all of these out-of-control things. But I think he should be able to sue for about $150,000, $250,000, enough money to upset somebody. And because that's just absurd that they did something like that. And that's traumatizing to his kids. His kids are going to have psychological help for the rest of their life probably because of something like that. I mean, you don't go out and put kids in handcuffs or whatever they did, stick them in the back of patrol cars and go attack their parents for no reason at all. That's just insane. And this student loan thing is getting out of control, in my opinion. They just never stop doing that, and they keep passing it along to different banks and selling it to different banks, and it keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So it gets to the point, if you haven't been able to pay it off right away, that you're paying your student loan, you're paying about five times as much as it's supposed to be, and that's just insane. And that's my opinion.
Anyways, the story of the raid went viral after a local ABC news station had reported the incident. And according to a story in the news service Politico, Justin Hamilton, the Education Department's press secretary, commented that this is related to a criminal investigation. Inspector General's office did not execute search warrants for late student loans and declined further comment based on a because it was an ongoing education investigation.
Same thing.
And so they say that there is other news stories say that there is other legal issues going on as far as why the raid. But
you know, it doesn't make any difference if there are other legals. Unless they've really got something of substance that they're searching for that they think some person has done. And even then, there are ways of doing this other than that. I mean, you don't just go in there and tackle somebody in their lawn and take them down and then go grab their kids and put them wherever they put them. And obviously, they stuck them somewhere so they wouldn't be in. I hope they stuck them somewhere and didn't have them watching.
Yeah, back of a squad car. Hello?
Well, that's bad enough. But, I mean, I wouldn't want them to have them standing there in the house while they watch their parents being handcuffed and thrown to the ground and all that kind of junk. Yes, that's bad enough. But even in the back of a squad car, I doubt very much if they assigned an officer to go out there and make it a game. And that's the only way you could do it without really traumatizing these kids. I mean, a three-year-old or a six-year-old or whatever it was, the youngest one, is not going to understand what's going on. And you've got to either make a game out of it or you're going to scare them to death. And that's ridiculous. We're having too many instances. I mean, something like this, and I'm going to sound very crass at this point, because if this happens once, a year in the country, that's fine. It's not fine. It's acceptable. But this is happening more and more often. And our Homeland Security thing of just saying they can do anything they want to without having to justify it has got to be controlled.
Revisited.
Absolutely. It's got to be ended, because we're just getting too much of this kind of stuff.
And kind of going along with on that little scenario, you probably recognize this little tune here from the 1984 movie Footloose with Kevin Bacon. The movie was a story about a boy who comes to town where rock and roll music and dancing has been banned. Okay, I always thought that this was a very entertaining, well-produced movie and a fictional story. And for the life of me, I would never think that anybody could ever get arrested for dancing.
Huh.
Oh, but you were wrong, Bunky.
Yes, Bucko.
As we fast forward to the year 2008 and the Jefferson Memorial, where a group of people celebrating Thomas Jefferson's birthday by dancing silently while listening to music on their headphones around midnight was dispersed by the U.S. Parks Police, with one woman arrested on misdemeanor charges. After the incident, U.S. District Judge John Bates approved a ban on dancing at the memorial in order to maintain an atmosphere of calm, tranquility, and reverence. 1 year later, Adam, and I'm probably going to pronounce his name wrong, and I apologize, Kukish, who is the anchor of a satellite TV show, Adam versus the Man, challenged the ordinance and was therefore arrested on Saturday by U.S. Park Police when he and five other of his fellow reporters started dancing silently at the Jefferson Memorial in Washington. The police responded and forcefully subdued the protesters, which was also recorded on YouTube. And it's definitely worth a watch because when I was watching this, I was just kind of like, my jaw was just hitting the ground. I mean, these guys, the cops literally picked them up and threw them to the ground just for just standing there and just kind of, you know, slightly swaying back and forth.
Swaying to the music, is it?
Yeah.
And see, that's ridiculous. They should have said that it was a religious ceremony or something, and that would have really got them. But, you know, you can go out and sway to the music. It's just they can assume that it was a organized thing if they had a bunch of people swaying to the same music, even though they were on headphones and couldn't hear it.
Well, the way they started it is that it was a couple that was just kind of holding on, like hugging each other, and they were just kind of both just swaying back and forth. And the U.S. Park Police came over and issued a warning saying that you were not allowed to do that here. and then they broke them up, handcuffed them both, and that kind of started that other people in the room kind of, you know, dancing and doing whatever. And finally, after arresting four or five people, they went ahead and closed the memorial down and kicked everybody out.
See, we're getting way too carried away in what we can and can't do. And was this federal or regional or city government or what? Who?
Probably Capitol Park Police, because if it's at the Jefferson Memorial in Washington.
Yeah, so they're just getting carried away. I mean, my God, we can't do anything anymore. And we're getting more and more and more. But unfortunately, I went online and was looking, and there are people who don't mind having federal government telling us every move we can make.
Yeah, the question is how much are you willing to give up for the illusion of safety?
Well, they're talking about everything. I mean, I didn't write it down, but that gets into this, our next subject is, it's really getting carried away as to how much control the federal government has, or even state government in some instances. But it's getting carried away. We've got to, it's come to the point where we don't think that the general populace, has any intelligence at all for controlling themselves.
Well, thank you for that lead-in, because that goes into the next award, which goes out to Bank of America.
Oh, great.
Okay, you go to work, you pay your bills on time, and you do everything you're supposed to do to be a responsible citizen, including trying to pronounce it. Now imagine going to your mailbox one day and getting a letter from your bank informing you that they are ready to begin foreclosure proceedings on your home. And what makes it worse is that the amount that the bank is demanding to avoid foreclosure is a check for $0.00.
Ah.
Computer error.
Good old banks.
Yeah.
Good old banks.
Well, according to WWLP-TV in Massachusetts, Bank of America sent out a notice to a Northampton man, who we will call Mark, who got such a letter, stating that if he did not make restitution immediately, that they would foreclose on his home. To make matters worse, Mark's credit score was downgraded because of the incident, and trying to get in touch with somebody at the bank for him was no easy task. That's when the 22 News I team stepped in and helped him out. Bank of America admitted that there was an electronic error on their end.
I called it.
And sent Mark a $150 check and gave him a gift certificate for his troubles, and of course promised that his credit score would be fixed.
Well, that would be the important part. Why didn't he just send him a check for 0000?
Good question. Of course, then again, how would that have been handled? Who knows?
Well, it would have paid off the balance of 0000.
Yeah.
See, that's the kind of a thing the computer can understand.
Yeah.
And, you know, send it for 1 cent and they'd be real upset because you overpaid. But,
and you've been charged zero interest based on the percentage of the balance owed for past due.
Oh, chances are they charge you interest on the whole balance. That's where the problem is.
Yeah.
And but at least if you send him a check for $150, he won.
Yeah, actually. Assuming that, well, of course, like I say, he's got to correct his credit score. And
well, that's the only part I would be a little leery. I'd watch that real close because
right.
You know, I don't worry about my credit score because I have none. But, you know, that's like somebody said, what if somebody steals your identity? Well, they're going to have to pay off my bills then. So more power to them.
But anyways, and our final award, which leads into our topic of the day. And again, let me get out the phone numbers, 646-721-8997 or 9887. And you can also join us in the chat room, www.blogtalkradio.com/KRBN. This story and award goes out or takes place in Cedar Falls, Iowa. And I'm sure what will be a challenge to the Fourth Amendment rights of the people of Cedar Falls is Ordinance 2740, which is an unfunded citywide mandate passed by a 6-1 vote on Monday, which demands that its citizens give the government keys to their commercial properties through universal lockboxes. The ordinance is an adoption of the 2009 International Fire Code, where fire officials can require installation of key boxes for commercial buildings and apartments with three or more units, where the owners of the building deposit the keys needed for emergency access to the building. The city council argued in favor of the bill, claiming that if there was a false alarm, for example, it would be easier for the city to just open the door and go in and investigate versus busting the door down and causing damage to the facility.
Did you ever think of breaking a window? That causes a whole lot less damage than busting the door down.
Well, as one of the people testifying against this ordinance, and there is a link on our show page for information on this and the testimony that one of the proponents said that, you know, I have no problem at all with you busting down my door if there's a suspected fire inside. Like, you see flames coming out the windows, I don't care about the door.
Yeah, it's a little too late to worry about the door at that particular time. But if you see flames coming out the window, go through the window.
Exactly. Anyway, the ordinance, opponents to the ordinance 2740 argue that it's a violation of the Fourth Amendment rights to the United States Constitution as part of the Bill of Rights, which guards against unreasonable search and seizures, along with requiring a warrant and supported by probable cause.
Yeah, see, if you're renting an apartment, if you've got an apartment building that you're renting out, you've got lots of apartments, even as a landlord, you have keys to everything. But even at that point, you're not allowed to go in people's houses and just check things out and see how things are. I mean, if you really believe there's an emergency going on or something, then that's one thing. But it's something you don't do. And to give the entire fire department and police department and every other department in the city access to all those apartments, I'm dead set against that, because you don't know about those people. Just because he's a fireman doesn't mean he's legitimate or that he's not a crook.
Well, that's true. And there are lock boxes that you can purchase, which, by the way, the businesses have to purchase their own because this is an unfunded ordinance. That when the lockbox is open, it can set off an alarm. But I'll tell you from my own experience, like here at the studio or even my other business that I used to own, I like knowing where the keys are and who has access to them.
Absolutely.
And the fact that, according to the article, yes, there's one master key to all the lockboxes, but how often have we heard like even computer information, like laptops being stolen or something like that, and your personal information given out. Who knows how many master keys would be for the lock boxes? And
well, it sort of negates the whole term private property.
Yeah.
If everybody in the town can get into it, it's no longer private property, and I'm not for that. I mean, I was under the impression that we were guaranteed to have that kind of a, by our Constitution, you know, what is it, the Fourth Amendment? That sort of helps along with that, and that's really upsetting that they can get in and just do that.
Didn't I hear you say it when you get into the lockbox, it sets off an alarm?
You can purchase lockboxes that will set off an alarm. Lockboxes run anywhere from $250 to $500, depending on the type that you have.
Wow.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. That's just another way of the government subsidizing another business, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, and although the article did not specify any penalties for you not cooperating, but I'm sure that, like with any ordinance, that there will be some type of... When the fire department does its inspection, is it going to go into lock boxes and make sure that your keys are there?
Well, you know, the thing is... I see, yeah. Okay, I was thinking that you'd have to leave the place unlocked except for the lockbox, and I'm not all for that. This whole business of making things accessible, that's not, you know, emergency places, emergency groups, firemen, people, if they don't have an emergency, they don't need to be in there. And an emergency doesn't mean I think there might be a cigarette smoldering in the back room. I mean, that's not emergency until it causes a fire. I mean, you can say, well, we'd like to be proactive instead of reactive, but, you know, there's a point where proactive is ridiculous.
Oh, I agree with you 100%. You know, the history of this bill, by the way, apparently a couple of years ago, they had the original ordinance required businesses and larger rental complexes to have the lock box on the side of the building so that emergency personnel can get into it. But this ordinance here amends that ordinance, lowering the amount of, like, if you have three or more apartments, you have to have this lock box, where before it was a larger complex. So they're narrowing it down more. So pretty soon it'll be every business, every home. And the point is, where does it stop?
Well, see, that is the problem. It isn't going to stop. And they're just getting the government is encroaching more and more and more every day. And we've got to do something to stop it. And this is the Obama thing again. I mean, the Democrats and the Obama administration really seem to think that we'd be better off if the administration was running our life entirely. And I think we should be going the other way. Should get them out of our lives entirely.
Well, I am an advocate for privacy and trying to maintain that degree of privacy that we've enjoyed as sort of a birthright that's given to us as Americans through the Constitution. And since September 11th, 2001, it is true, we have seen a huge erosion of our privacy under the guise of being safer. And I'm with you, Cliff. What you said earlier is how much is that going to be worth to us to give the illusion of safety at the surrender of our individual private rights?
Yeah, I agree. And it's the thing is, I don't know that we really are safer. Here's one guy. Here's, you know, what's happening. This gentleman is responding to this. He says, I absolutely agree. There really isn't any problem with the universal lockbox. You see, I have the Remington 870 12-gauge lockbox override system. Anyone from government agency coming uninvited or without a warrant onto my property will find out how fast, simple, and effective the override system can be. Lock and look, friends, it's time. And we're going to have more and more people taking the law into their own hands. And I don't blame them. Somebody comes busting their way into my house or my apartment building, whether it's with a key or not, I'm not for it. And you know, there's going to be more and more people out there buying this Remington 870 12-gauge lock box override system. So, and we're having it happen all the time. We're, look, in the news yesterday, there was, they were out there running around trying to find this guy who was fed up with the government running things. Of course, he's supposedly got something wrong with the head, but I mean, he went a little bit overboard. But we're going to find more and more people doing this is the problem.
Exactly. That's the whole point. You know, where is the line? Especially now with technology, you can't. It's hard to go anywhere. Well, as far as you know, them tracking your movements and everything, I guess is what I'm saying.
Well, you know, getting back to this, the cameras everywhere and things like that. I'm really not too much of a problem with that, as long as they're in public places and watching public places. But if you start trying to get access to the cameras in my business or in my home, now we're in trouble. And I think that's going to be next.
No, I agree. Also, I was just thinking, too, speaking of tracking, like with commercial vehicles, there are some license plates that have the transponders on them where, you know, the movement of the commercial vehicles can be tracked wherever they go, when, you know, daytime, et cetera. And I could just see them taking it to private vehicles, such as, well, with the excuse like Oregon wants to do with the electric vehicles, and in replacement for the gas tax is to have a GPS in your car so they can track where, what time, how, what time of the day it was, and how bad the congestion of the roads were, in order to charge you for your privilege of using the roads.
Really? In Europe, they're doing this kind of thing with radios and televisions and things like that. They don't track every time you turn it on. They just put a tax on them when you buy them. And I'm not sure, but in some countries, they actually tax it every year if you how many radios you have or how many televisions you have. But they're not, you know, they're paying for the non-commercial television and radio stations. But the thing is, even over there, they're paying the taxes, and now they've also put commercials on those stations. So it never ends. We always need more money. That's what, getting back to what's not our subject today, but the debate about the debit and the budget itself. We've got to do something about that, because we keep spending more and spending more and spending more, which means we have to be bringing more in and more in money, and we've got to keep doing things like this in order to bring that extra money in. So we've got to stop spending money somewhere.
Exactly. And unless anybody has any more comments on this subject, we can go ahead and switch to the second topic of the day on the round table. Cindy, do you have any more comments?
Nope. I think we've chewed on this pretty good.
I've got one little thing that I wanted to bring up here, by the way, which is sort of like this and sort of not, but sort of an in-between. And this is about Tennessee criminalizing posting any photo online that offends anyone. And I didn't get to get much information about that, but I heard about it. If anybody knows, I'd love it if they would call and tell us about it, because this sounds absolutely absurd. You can't do that. You can't control what goes on the internet, and people are trying to do that. We've got to control our attitude about what's going on the internet, not actually what's going on the internet. And because posting a photo online on the internet, unless it's a pornographic photograph or something like that, and I don't see how that can offend. I mean, I can see how it will offend, but I don't see how it can hurt anyone. But and most of the times, what I'm hearing is any of the so-called porno photos that have been posted online have been posted by the people that posed for them, like the Wiener thing. And he did it himself, and he finally admitted to doing it himself. And so he can't be upset about it. Simple as that. But I do agree with the ones who are calling for his resignation.
Do you think that the Wiener incident has... And why does he have to have a name like that? do you think the Wiener incident has something to do with this law?
I don't know. I don't know when this law was thought about or posted or whatever they did to it, and because I haven't been able to find anything else about it. I've been putting in Tennessee and photographs and criminalizing and every word I can come up with, but haven't come up with anything to show me more about it. And So I guess I shouldn't have brought it up. Maybe I wasn't prepared. But it just sounds so absurd to me because this, just the way it was even mentioned, any photo online that offends anyone, that's everything. Something is going to offend, you know, there's going to be something about any photograph there. I have a picture of myself online from years ago, and I'm sure I'm ugly enough it's going to offend a lot of people, but I put it on there anyway. And so
I'm glad you mentioned that because I was going to tell you that I'm offended by the hat.
That isn't even the one I was talking about. I was talking about one from years before that.
The Tennessee Code is Title 39, Chapter 17, Part 3.
Wow.
Which is...
He's good.
Uh-huh.
which talks about it, and basically it's focused on malicious person-to-person communication applies to anybody transmitting potentially offensive images on the web.
See, and that's something, you know, we're going to have to start learning how to be a lot more thick-skinned, I guess would have to be the word, because we're going to have people cyberbullying, so to speak, or whatever. And there's just nothing you can do about it because anybody can go on and post a picture or a statement or anything that they want. And, you know, we're going to have to learn that you don't believe everything you read on the Internet to begin with. And second of all, if it's something about you, then you either have to go on there with them and deny it or whatever. But, I mean, we're going to have problems with this for a long time. And I don't think it's something that you can legislate. You can't make a law that says, I can't put something on my website. You can't do that. I mean, you can do it all day if you want to, and you're not going to stop me, is the point.
Well, and it's such a broad definition. You know, I'm looking at it's 39-17-308, subsection A, subsection 4, which...
The thing, we've got to stop hiding these things.
That's right, which in definitions, for example, images to include but not limited to a visual depiction, video clip, photograph of another person. I mean, I could say that Mitt Romney's photo offends me. And
well, it does.
Under this definition, that would come under this clause that, you know, he's offensive.
Yeah.
Well, I want you to know I was fado-doing to Louisiana swamp rock in a grass field last Friday at a vineyard, and somebody used their cell phone to tape it and put it on the Internet. I am offended by that.
They took a picture.
That's the thing you got to get over. Because we've got cameras now everywhere. I mean, everybody has cameras everywhere, almost everybody. Even I have a telephone. I have three of them that will take pictures. They're not necessarily the greatest pictures in the world, but they'll take them.
Technically, to do it right. Now, were you the center, Cindy? Were you the center of the picture, of the movie?
Yes. And another woman who was also dancing and all kinds of having lots of fun.
Okay. Well, as you know, as a journalist...
It was a private moment.
Yeah.
you can't have private moments like that, I don't believe.
Apparently not. If you stand up and dance at a concert, you're no longer having a private moment.
That's right.
Now, Cindy, as you know, just like I do, you know, being a journalist, that if you are at the center, are the primary focus of any type of a picture, video, or whatever, you're supposed to get a signed release from somebody if you're going to publish it.
No kidding.
Not when it's private people and they're putting it on YouTube or whatever. It was
a joke among friends. I told him, I said, you better not put that anywhere. Erase it from your phone. He says, I might pass it on to some folks.
Okay. Yeah, because see, technically you could do something about that, but... You know, there's so many of them out there, and most people aren't aware.
My problem is that my fado-doing was left a lot to be desired. It was more of an embarrassing moment for me.
Well, it's an embarrassing moment, so we won't get into that.
Okay, so what's that address so we can do our research?
Cindy Wheeldryer, YouTube.
Yeah.
It wasn't that bad.
It's amazing because, you know, as I say, there are so many cameras in so many places, And you're just going to have to, everybody's going to have to get used to the fact that from now on, there is no privacy unless you're inside your own home. I mean, and even then, you don't know for sure. But I would assume if it was something that was taken in your home, if somebody takes a picture of me in my home and then posts that on the internet, I will get upset and I will take them to court and I will do whatever I can to do something. But even if there's nothing wrong with the picture, because I think that's outside the purview of being legitimate.
Well, and speaking of back to this article in Tennessee, okay, part of the thing it says here, you know, like behaviors that will be that are illegal. Okay, well, usually when you mention something like that, the first thing that comes to mind, you know, is like you said, you're either into somebody's house or somebody doing a sex act or whatever. Okay, you're taking a picture of somebody robbing a bank. Now, that's taking a picture of somebody doing something illegal.
Right. But everybody thinks that's okay.
Well, I guess it depends on just how technically you want to put the...
That's the thing. All these cameras, they're helping us as much as hurting us, because there's an awful lot of instances where things are picked up on a camera that wasn't even intended to be picked up, and we can solve crimes and things like that. I mean, I watch television. They use these cameras all the time and check them out. I think it's probably a lot of it is a lot of bunk, but a lot of that is true and can be done. And I'm all for that. You know, we've got cameras going absolutely everywhere, and that's what they're for, is to pick up things that weren't supposed to be happening. But
where does it stop is the point. Okay, there's so many things in our society now that people get so offended over. I mean, like the deal with the Christmas, you know, can't call a Christmas tree a Christmas tree. You got to call it a holiday tree. The Easter eggs, you can't call them that. They have to be holiday spears.
Well, see, that's where we as the general public, that's where we as citizens have to tell them to go to hell and call them a Christmas tree.
Oh, you and how do you really feel about that, Cliff?
Yeah,
you call them and that doesn't mean you need to call an Easter egg a Christmas tree, but we can call it an Easter egg. And I'm not going to change my attitude about that. I have Christmas. I don't have a holiday. I actually have Christmas. I have Halloween. If they don't like that, they can tough it out. And I have witches and goblins and things like that. I don't care. And if they want to put me in jail for that, fine. They can put me in jail for that. And as soon as I find a way around it and hire a good enough attorney, I'm going to sue whoever put me in jail for everything they got and hope I can get something out of it.
Well, speaking of Halloween, did you know that in some cities it's actually on the books that it's illegal to wear a mask in public? Or anything else that alters the features of your face?
Oh, well, I don't know about altering the features of my face. The only thing I can think of possibly could be is because it impedes your ability to see where you're going and what you're doing and that sort of thing. But altering the appearances of my face, there's an awful lot of people do that, and it's called plastic surgery. So
paper bags.
Well, you know, I wanted to comment that we have a gubernatorial candidate from the state of Utah that was vacationing in Oregon on the North Coast, who is one of those paragliders that parachutes that jumps off things, base jumping. And he did that off the Astoria City Column, and his buddies posted on YouTube. And he was arrested by Astoria police and given a $2,000 fine and possible jail time for breaking the city law of jumping off the tower.
Wow.
And he was on TV last night on the news saying, come on, Oregon, clearly there must be some more crime here that you have other than, you know, grabbing people in Utah that are on YouTube, jumping off your column and prosecuting them. But, he may do jail time on this.
No, you come to a very hungry state.
Well, you know, an awful lot of this stuff. I always just talking to somebody about this just the other day, as a matter of fact. The fact that we've got a lot of laws, mostly things like laws of involving cars and things, but a lot of them are set up literally to bring in revenue. they want to be able to, you know, assess a fine so they can bring some money into the city's coffers and whatever. And we're getting an awful lot of that that's just ridiculous. We've got to go after this a different way. We've got to stop spending instead of trying to bring more money.
Well, in fact, I was just going to say, getting back to Tennessee law here, what Cindy was just describing, subsection 2 of paragraph A says, I'm quoting, in a manner the defendant knows or reasonably should know would frighten, intimidate, or cause emotional stress to a similarly situated person of reasonable sensibilities. Okay, watching somebody jump off a bridge would stress me out. Okay, you're under arrest.
Well, actually, it is illegal to jump off the bridge.
It was the bridge, it was the column.
Well,
their monument there to John Jacob Astor.
But if it's committing suicide, is it?
No, he's paragliding off of it.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Well, can you see what this would do to the news services in Tennessee? And tonight's story, we have videos of the armed robbery and police subduing them. Unfortunately, we can't show you anything because watching the police subdue somebody and shooting would be offensive to our audience.
Yeah. I mean, there are some television shows that do put up a disclaimer before the newscasts because some of the newscasts are offensive.
That's right. The following program may be offensive to anybody with an IQ over 30.
See, again, we've got to, our country, we've been too protected. We have all been, but everything. For one thing, for example, when you go to this grocery store and you buy food, you don't worry about whether it's poisoned or whether it has an E. coli or whether it has anything. You just buy it and eat it and just go on your merry way because you assume that we're being totally protected about everything. And I don't know that I want to be totally protected about absolutely everything. And so that means that you, as an individual, have to take a little more responsibility. And our populace doesn't want to do that.
I was just going to say, well, where, again, back to Tennessee law, where does it stop? I remember, I don't have it up in front of me. There was this, I believe she's a high school girl. She took a picture of herself naked and with her cell phone. Apparently, you know, told a few people. And school officials went ahead and confiscated her phone, and she got suspended.
Well, again,
my grandma would say, consider the source.
I'm a little conflicted with that, because if she took the picture and put it on there, then she deserves whatever consequences there are. But it's not up to the school necessarily to inflict those consequences. However, in this particular case, if she literally took a picture of herself naked or close to naked, certainly it's up to the school, because that's one of the things the schools are supposed to be doing, is supposed to be guiding our younger people into morality. I mean, you don't. I heard somebody say the other day, you can't teach morality. Well, of course you can. How else are you going to learn it? But the problem with that is it shouldn't be the schools teaching the morality. It should be teaching the parents. The parents should be teaching it, because they're the ones who know what they want their children to be moral about. Morals are not the same for absolutely everyone, and so it gets into a real quagmire of how you handle that one.
Oh, yeah. That sounds like a good invitation to ask Pastor Bradley to weigh in on this question.
Well,
yes, Pastor Bradley. Somebody knows.
Okay.
Did he went to sleep?
Oh, he's having technical issues.
Ah, one of those again, huh?
All right. So
what's happened? That's what happens when you buy a different kind of a computer. I won't get that. I won't tell him. I won't one mention that it was a Mac.
Okay. Speaking of technical issues, 646-721-9887, if you'd like to try our technical issue. We are running, Blog Talk Radio has a new switchboard out. It's totally redesigned, and so far I kind of like the redesign. And this time, thank you, Blog Talk, I'm actually going to give you a compliment. You're giving us a choice between running the old one and the new one to try it out. And I think maybe after the last time you've made some changes that a lot of us people that use Blog Talk Radio, we raise a lot of hell.
But, so are you using the new one or the old one?
I'm currently using the new one. And Everything is completely different. So, you know, if somebody out there would like to give us a call, 646-721-9887, so we can also test that part of it. We have
hopefully she'll notice it.
We have phone lines open right now. Give us a call. The chat room is also open. That hasn't changed at blogtalkradio.com/KRBN. Unfortunately, with that one, you have to have a Blog Talk account to comment. Where our new chat room, which is having server problems right now at krbnradio.com, does not require any type of a login. And if you missed our show and listening to us on the archives and you want to comment, send us an email at talk@krbnradio.com or join us on Facebook.
Yeah, we'd love to hear from you. Well, you know, we had a debate. CNN had a GOP, Republican, whatever you want to call it, debate a couple of days ago, and it's been just a couple of days, and it was quite interesting to watch. I will have to say a couple of things. First of all, I was not impressed with how CNN did it. I think they were rather frivolous about it, and one of the things is they didn't give anybody any time to talk. The debate was 2 hours long, but they seemed to decide they wanted to get 400 questions in that 2 hours, which is just totally absurd. And so they only gave everybody supposedly 30 seconds to answer any of the questions, except that these are politicians, folks. Nobody can answer a question in 30 seconds. Absolutely no one.
Okay, and one for directions.
Pardon?
Never ask one for directions.
Oh, really? Really. I will have to say, interestingly enough, after that debate, the stock market went up because an awful lot of people realized finally, by being able to see there were seven candidates on the stage, they've learned that of the seven candidates on the stage for the GOP candidates, that every single one of them would probably be an improvement on who we have in the office of president at the moment. And, of course, they didn't have any qualms about telling us that they would be a better charge. But there are one of the things that I noticed, because I was trying to figure out what the public wants, because one of the candidates was Mr. Kane. I don't remember his first name, but he used to be the CEO of Godfather's Pizza. And I don't mean a Godfather's Pizza. I mean all of Godfather's Pizza. He's got big, big business leadership know-how, and he did very well because Godfather's Pizza, as you probably remember, did very well. I don't know what's going on with it now, but I'm sure it's still all over the place. But
that was Mr. Kane, Herman Kane.
But anyway, I listened to him and what he had to say. I had never heard him speak before, and I will have to admit that that I was very impressed with what he had to say. He thinks about things, and he had actual solutions with his answers, not just random hollering and yelling. He did have criticisms, of course, of the current administration, but he had ways of figuring out how to fix things and how to take care of things. Then one of the things that I listened or looked for was what kind of applause. I mean, the one thing that the moderator of this thing tried to do was get people not to applaud because it takes up time and he can't get as many questions in, which was one of my first criticisms of trying to get too many questions in. But the people that got the applause, they were, and they're the ones that I was interested in. Romney, who is supposedly the front runner, didn't get much applause. He just simply didn't. The two people that I was really impressed with how much applause, of course, one of them, everybody says he's not electable, and that's Ron Paul. Ron Paul almost always gets a huge amount of applause because he makes sense with what he has to say.
I've had years in the military. I've had a little experience. I've spent a little bit of time over in the Pakistan, Afghanistan area, as well as in Iran. But I wouldn't wait for my generals. I'm the commander-in-chief. I make the decisions. I tell the generals what to do, and I bring them home as quickly as possible, and I get them out of Iraq as well, and I wouldn't start a war in Libya. I'd quit bombing Yemen, and I'd quit bombing Pakistan. I'd start taking care of people here at home because we could save hundreds of billions of dollars. Our national security is not enhanced by our presence over there. We have no purpose there. We should learn the lessons of history. And the longer we're there, the worse things are and the more danger we're in as well, because our presence there is not making friends, let me tell you.
That was Texas Congressmember Ron Paul.
He got a huge amount of a response to almost everything he said, including that, and an awful lot of people agree with him about pulling everybody out and saving a whole lot of money.
Yeah, but that was one of the things that Obama made, too, is that he promised to bring our troops home. Or at least
but kind of moreover, he's not bringing them home. That's the problem. I mean, I will say Romney had something to say that did sort of ring bells, but he didn't. People don't, for some reason, applaud for him. I mean, maybe they are holding to a higher standard, or maybe they just have heard so much and don't know if they believe it or what, but he did talk.
This president has failed, and he's failed at a time when the American people counted on him to create jobs and get the economy going. And instead of doing that, he delegated the stimulus to Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid, and then he did what he wanted to do. Card check, cap and trade, Obamacare, re-regulation. I spent my life in the private sector, 25 years. As I went around the world, this is an important topic. I went around the world.
We'll have a lot of time on the topic.
You can tell how to get jobs going in this country, and President Obama's done it wrong. And the ideas Tim described, those are in the right wheelhouse.
See, Romney is the typical top politician. He took like 5 or 6 minutes to give his 30-second answer, and so he really got interrupted. The rest of the people, probably the one person who impressed me the most at this particular debate was Newt Gingrich. I like Newt Gingrich's ideas. I like his experience. I mean, he's been responsible for a lot of the major changes in the government while he's been there, because he's been in office for a long time, and he's always been a major player in the office as well. But he actually, believe it or not, was one of the few people who stayed within his 30 seconds. It's amazing.
If you look at a poll in the Boston Globe just the other day, 54% of Republican voters in this state say they're willing to have higher taxes on the wealthy to help bring down the deficit. Are they wrong?
Well, look, the question is, would it in fact increase jobs or kill jobs? The Reagan recovery, which I participated in passing, in 7 years, created for this current economy the equivalent of 25 million new jobs, raised federal revenue by $800 billion a year in terms of the current economy, and clearly worked. It's a historic fact. The Obama administration is an anti-jobs, anti-business, anti-American energy, destructive force, and we shouldn't talk about what we did in 2013. The Congress this year, this next week, ought to repeal the Dodd-Frank bill. They ought to repeal the Sarbanes-Oxley bill. They ought to start creating jobs right now, because for those 14 million Americans, this is a depression now.
Now, that was what impressed me. Gingrich not only has solutions and answers, he has reasons, and I agree. For the people who don't have a job, for the people who are underemployed, this is a depression. And this is a major depression, and it's getting worse. It's not getting better, and that's the kind of thing that were addressed on the what do you want to call it, diets on the stage or whatever of this particular GOP debate. And I was quite impressed. Everybody said that Michelle Bachmann, if you have to have a winner for the debate, won. I don't think I necessarily agree. She had things to say, and she basically reiterated what everybody else was saying, the fact that she'd repeal all of the Obama rules and regulations and laws and things that have been put in place and sneaked in and whatever, and that would be one of the very first things that she'd do. The other thing she did, of course, was announce the fact that she's actually filed the papers and is actually going to run for office right away. I don't know if she's done it yet, but she's filed the papers. I don't know whether she's announced her candidacy or not. And so she got a big applause about that, but that was the only thing. But the people who got the applause, Ron Paul, Newt Gingrich, and Herman Cain. Cain? Yeah. Were the three that got the major applause of the whole thing. And even when the moderator was telling them not to applaud, they were doing it because they had something to say. All three of them had solutions. They weren't just proselytizing or whatever you want to call it. They weren't being just political candidates. They actually had an answer to the question, and they were the ones that who actually answered the question that was given to them, by the way. Most of these people are the typical politician during the whole thing. They were asked a question, and then they went on and talked about whatever they wanted to, which frustrated, terribly frustrated the moderator of the program. But I still disagree in the whole about the length. You can't work with politicians and have seven people on the stage and only give them 30 seconds on any of the questions. They didn't.
Yeah, that is just so counterproductive.
Yeah, it really is. He spends his whole time trying to keep them in line. And why do that? Why not just, you know, if you've got, they had 2 hours anyway, so why not?
It gives those folks that are really good at crafting those sound bites an advantage over other candidates who might be far more qualified, but just not really good at coming off the top of their head with sound bites.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and you know, let the television stations work on what the sound bites are going to be, not the candidates. They shouldn't have to be responsible for that because the television stations are going to pick out whatever they think is better anyway, regardless what you have spent hours and hours building this little speech with a line in there that's going to catch everybody's attention and then find out that the TV stations aren't going to use that one anyway. They got a better one that they like. So, you know, let the television stations do their job and let the politicians do their job, but at least give them a chance to do it. Don't try to schedule it so that the TV stations don't have to work at it. They didn't get anywhere. You know,
unfortunately, I missed the debate. But the one thing that I really hate about these debates is the type of questions that they do ask, which I don't know where they get a lot of them. But is, you know, I sit through these things, and you know, I guess you're supposed to ask the question that America is thinking about, and some of them is just like, I don't care about that. What about jobs? What about this? What about that? You know, I don't care what flavor ice cream you like, or if you think Miss America looks better in something else, I don't know.
See, and that's one of the things that this moderator decided he was going to do to be funny. And he did ask things like that. You know, he Kane, for example, he asked him, dish or thin crust? And of course, his real quick answer was deep dish, which I guess is okay. And he asked stupid questions like that. Just going into the break and coming out of the break, he asked just one-word stupid questions. And, you know, to do that maybe once is fine, but to continue it up through the whole 2 hours, I think it's kind of a waste of time. And an awful lot of what was going on there was a waste of time. But we did get some information out of it. And as I say, I think the most important thing we got out of the whole thing was the fact that these people think. You know, we had an awful lot of people on stage that nobody had really heard anything about. I didn't know anything about most of those people. I've always been a Newt Gingrich fan. I'm all for him. I've been that way all along because he really does have answers. I've seen stuff he's written before, and they tried to the media, I guess, I'll blame the media, has tried to trounce all over him because a bunch of his people quit on him. They resigned and went somewhere else to do something else because Newt Gingrich is kind of a loose something or other. He wasn't spending a lot of time. I mean, we've got a lot of time before. We've got months and months and months before there's an election. And so he's got a lot of time to talk to people and do things. And so he went on vacation, and they didn't think that was right. When he'd already put his hat in the ring, he's supposed to buckle down and immediately become totally immersed in running for the office. And so
that did that?
That's Newt Gingrich.
Newt Gingrich, the one you're just praising.
Yeah. So he's back. And he's, again, once they looked into it, everybody decided, well, okay, he's recovered from losing all those people, and he can always find more people to help him out with the campaign. But he's ready to get out on the campaign trail and stump and do whatever you do on campaign trail, stomp around. And
yeah, but maybe that's a good sign about, you know, if your own people walk out on you because they're the ones that are closest, maybe, you know, that might be...
That's what everybody was saying, but in reality, you know, he's been around for a long, long time, and the thing is, he'll come out of this okay because he's got the ideas. It's not his ideas. I mean, it's not their ideas. All they're doing is getting upset because he didn't do exactly what they told him to do, and that's ridiculous. He decided to go on vacation, and he wanted to do it before before this campaign thing got into full speed ahead. And you had to do it then or not. And so he did. And so I don't find that a problem. Now he's ready to come back and really get down into it and work at it, I suppose, especially since even if he didn't intend to come back and work real hard at it, he will now because the media has just lambasted him about the whole thing. But he's that's not a problem. I know he can pull it out because he's the only one up there. The only one up there that I consider has been there, done that, and he has been.
Overall, if all the politicians would take care of their own life, take the log out of their own eye, everything would work a lot better because everybody wants to tattletale nowadays because it gets you attention.
Yeah.
It just drives me crazy.
Yeah. So that's why I like Cain. Herman Cain. I had knew nothing about him, but I was extremely impressed with the fact that he was prepared. He had answers, not and he had solutions. It wasn't just a bunch of rhetoric. He actually came down and said what he thought they should do about any of the questions that he was asked, and he had answers, and he didn't have to worry too much about them. The only one that threw him for a loop is he had said something about Muslims and how he would have to question the Muslims before he'd put them in his cabinet, and he had an answer for that as well. But because Muslim is the only religion that has two aspects, one that's peaceful and one that's definitely not, and he had no problem proving his point. And so again, even something as damning as that, he got through it with no trouble at all, in my opinion. And so I was extremely impressed with him. Now, whether after Obama our country would even consider electing another black president or not, I don't know. But
did they talk at all about the Obamacare?
Oh, constantly. And the one thing that everybody said, everybody got on the bandwagon, absolutely everyone, and said that they would, one of the first things they would do is get rid of all of the Obama laws and things that had been passed in the last 3 years. I mean, it would just all go by the boards. And one of the things that Romney was got up there, and when he got to that part of the question, basically what he said is the first day he was in office, the first day he got sworn in and was in office, he would sign a bill authorizing every state to opt out of everything, period, all of those laws, especially the Obamacare thing. So, and then he would go about repealing them all, but he would offer them the opportunity to opt out legally immediately. And that's one of the places where Michelle Bachmann got on the campaign trail there and mentioned how she would go about getting rid of all of those things as well. And she just basically almost mirrored what she said, what he said. She just said it would be one of the first things that she did. She didn't say it would be the first day. But that's...
Well, I want to jump in. When you get a chance, I want to jump in here on that topic.
Go ahead.
Well, a lot of what we call Obamacare was modeled after the Massachusetts health care plan that Mitt Romney was when he was the governor of Massachusetts. And it's interesting that I believe it was Newt Gingrich on one of the Sunday morning news shows called it Romneycare.
It was polemic.
And then during the debate on CNN, all of these GOP candidates are kind of backing away from that, thinking, okay, well, you know, if Mitt's going to be the first name on the ticket, I don't want to offend him, so he won't consider me to be the vice president. And that was kind of disappointing. The other comment I wanted to make on your boy Newt is that I really think that he's running for president just to line his pockets more than winning a presidential election. I'm so disappointed with him. I think his staff is affected for a really good reason, because he is allowing his new wife to tell him where he's going to go and how he's going to do it. And I don't think that's good presidential material myself.
Okay. First thing I want to talk about is the Mitt Romney thing. Actually, you're right. It was based on that. And the thing is, Mitt Romney had already put together his program, had already made it a law, and had already failed before Obama came up with his. Obama still used his as the blueprint to do it. And one of the things Mitt Romney actually said, and just got right on the stage and said it, was, if he'd have called me, I'd have told him. But he says he never discussed it with anybody in Massachusetts. He just went ahead and used it as a way of doing things, knowing full well it didn't work. But he did it anyway. And so how do you justify that?
Well, you recall, too, that in a debate between Clinton and Obama, Obama put down Clinton for her health care plan, stating that under your plan, people who don't have health insurance are going to pay a penalty and still don't have insurance. And on that point of a penalty, you know, we talked about that many times on the show. In 2014 is when it's going to start. And there hadn't been really any way to relate it dollar-wise. Well, I'm on a side note here. Where I work, we just got health care, and the provider put out a pamphlet which basically states what the penalties are going to be. And briefly, beginning in 2014, the flat dollar penalty is $95, maximum $285 per family, or 1% of your income. And it increases that up into 2016, it increases from $95 to $695 penalty. Maximum penalty for the family is $2,085 or 2.5% of your income. So like I've said many times on previous shows, if you don't have insurance, click your refund goodbye.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That kind of
Again, this has all been rehashed and rehashed, and the public is really upset about what they hear, and I'm sure most of them have not read anything, but they do hear what's going on, and most of them are really upset about the fact that there's an awful lot in this bill, or whatever you want to call it, it's a law, I guess now, that it was hidden, and it's still hidden down the road. They put it way down the road so that you don't realize until it hits you that you're going to be spending a whole lot of money. But I don't think we're going to have to worry too much about that, because the simple fact of the matter is, from what I've been able to see, and from the polls that have been taken afterwards, and from what the audience said, and et cetera, this is going to be a one-time president, a term president. It really looks like it's going to be that way, and he's done it to himself. You know, the unfortunate part is, I think Obama is well-intentioned. I just don't think he knows how to do anything different or anything better. So, anyway, he's going to have to be aware of the fact. Not only is he going to be a one-time president, but unfortunately, I think what's going to happen is in, 2012, we're going to end up with the opposite of what we had before. We're going to have a Republican president, we're going to have a Republican House, and we're going to have a Republican Senate. And I don't know if I like that any better than I liked it when it was all Democratic, because when it's all one-sided, it's a problem. People have a tendency to – one of the things that again, was brought up and needs to be considered is we've got to get rid of – the general public wants cooperation. They want people – of Democrats and Republicans to work on the problem, not on the fact that they're a Democrat or a Republican.
Exactly.
And well, people are getting tired of it.
And I was going to just throw in there real quick that speaking of people are getting tired of Obama, there was a fundraiser. Unfortunately, I don't have the article in front of me, but There's enough room for 2,400 people at this fundraiser, and only 900 signed up for it.
Well, this is something that he's mentioned a couple of times, and it is happening. Is he's not got the response that he used to have because he's already messed up the position. So much people are aware that he's not doing what he said he was going to do, and he's doing a lot of things that he said he wasn't going to do. I understand. I've always felt that if you haven't ever been in the office before, when you get there, you find out it's radically different than what you thought it was going to be. And a lot of things that you thought you could do, you're not going to be able to do because you've got, 500 and some odd people there telling you no, the House and the Senate. And so you have to pay attention. And I think he's finding out there's a lot of things that he thought he could do that he can't. And then the problem is, however, he's, well, I don't know.
Well, that gets back to, I'm disappointed that Donald Trump was just kind of joking around about running, because to give Trump credit over a lot of these career politicians, like him or not, he's had to run a for-profit business. So he has some idea about how to make money, how not to make money, or how to lose money. Where if all you do is go from college and into government, you don't have those skills.
Right, that's true. Well, that's,
he needs help with his hair.
Actually, his hair is okay. He's adamant about the fact it's all his.
And that's what happens when you use a little bit of Elmer's glue. It stays put.
Yeah. Well, I'm all for that. I wish I had something to stay put. But anyway, but the thing is, and I have to disagree, because I really watched what he was saying, and the Donald was being tongue-in-cheek all along, I think, because he was making some pretty radical statements about China and Iran and troops wherever we are and things like that. I mean, he wasn't
very diplomatic, that's for sure.
No,
he wasn't
echoing what everybody was thinking.
Right, but he wasn't thinking about it. He was just making rash statements. He wasn't trying to think about could actually do those. And that's where this Kane guy, I am really impressed about him. He makes some of the same statements, but he has actually thought about it and actually tells you how to go about doing it. And then, of course, the other person I'm really impressed with, and I have always been impressed with, but I don't know why we can't, is Ron Paul. The thing about Ron Paul is he's made these outlandish, exciting statements for quite some time. And the interesting part of the whole thing is that his opinions and his ideas are coming into favor, not going out of. The longer he keeps telling everybody about them, the more people begin to agree with them or believe them. Is everybody there still?
Oh, we're still.
Oh, okay. Something just popped up on my computer, and I don't know exactly what it said other than I thought it all went away. But anyway, but the point is it's not impossible, I think, for Ron Paul to actually accomplish something this time, because the more he talks, and he stays on subject, he doesn't change. He moderates a little bit.
To his credit, he does.
And the thing is, he's a hugely intelligent person, and he knows all about this financial stuff and things like that. And you can stand there and talk to him, and he will tell you exactly how to do what and when and why. And you have to, and what he says makes sense. And so it's not impossible that this year, maybe, you know, this election, not this year, maybe somewhere where he'll get someplace. But whether it's him or whether it's Newt Gingrich, those are the two that I would like to see happen. I don't think Mitt Romney's going to do it. I don't think he's going to get there. He's tried too many times and too hard, and everybody calls him presidential. I don't. He was very condescending and very nice at this particular thing. He was trying very hard to be very presidential. I mean, you know, not getting to anybody. But I think he failed miserably, personally. Michelle, Bachmann, has a possibility of doing it. She was very good. I really liked what she had to say, and she kept herself very well. I'm really looking.
I would take her over Sarah Palin in a heartbeat.
That's just what I was going to bring up, is what Sarah Palin going to do. Now, I think Sarah Palin's been staying out of this until she sees what Michelle Bachmann is going to do. And I think Michelle Bachmann has handled herself and done well enough, even just in this first debate, that perhaps Sarah Palin is going to stay out of it. I don't know. But nobody knows what she's going to do at this particular point.
And I'm going to jump in here real quick and let Cindy go ahead and finish. 646-721-9887. We have 10 minutes remaining in the program. There's still time for you to jump in here and let us know what you think about the candidates or anything else. 646-721-9887. Cindy, you had a comment.
Well, I was just going to comment that between Michelle Bachmann and Sarah Palin, Michelle Bachmann by far and away seems to instill more confidence in me that she would be able to handle the pressure of office and the amount of knowledge and understanding of a system works than Sarah Palin would. The other thing I wanted to say is I really am put off by Mitt Romney. He's, you know, I was reading some commentaries online that after the CNN debate on Monday, he was in a local coffee shop in New Hampshire, and he was making comments, next time I'll be back here with Secret Service agents and be asking for your vote in November, as if, you know, he's already won the GOP nomination. And, you know, I don't know, that haughtiness turns me off big time.
Well, I agree, and that's the kind of thing that he does. I will have to say, though, again, like I said, he kept that to an absolute minimum. He didn't get nearly as in your face with that on the debate. Maybe after the debate at the coffee shop, like you say, but he was very careful to be very. I want to use the word humble, but he wasn't humble. He didn't go far enough to be humble, but he tried, I think.
You know, this is the exact reason why Obama got put in the office, because we're tired of the good old boy network and why we wanted hope and change. Now, although not this type of hope and change, but we didn't want the career politician. We didn't want another Bush legacy, you know, something different to try and put the economy in, to try to put things back on track and to have less government. And what we did by doing that, we just got the opposite.
Well, the thing is, we got somebody in there who didn't know what they were doing, didn't have even a clue of what they were doing. And so he listened to somebody, whoever it was, and it was obviously not necessarily the right people. And everybody says, well, look what he did with GM. He bailed them out and everything worked right. Actually, it didn't. He bailed them out. The money went to them. And then they went bankrupt anyway, and that's what turned them around. They had to go bankrupt. You had to have that official bankruptcy there in order for them to reorganize and redo things. Chrysler and General Motors both did take the money. Who knows what they did with it? And then they went bankrupt and actually changed their whole thing. So it was not the response of what Obama did that fixed it. They fixed it themselves. All we did was spend huge amounts of money helping them.
Well, and then the country now owns a large percentage of GM.
Well, and then are we ever going to get that back? And does it count? I mean, the other places, the banks that he's put the money into, I disagree with them too, but most of them have actually paid that money back already, because they really didn't need it in the first place, I don't think. And there were, and why did we let one go bankrupt and bail the others out? I mean, this whole presidency has got so many unanswered questions that make no sense and look like favoritism, and I don't see how else to call it other than favoritism, because he decides who gets money, who doesn't get money, who wins, who doesn't win, who has to pay it back, who doesn't pay it back, and it doesn't. I want to know who's making these decisions, because I don't believe it's him. Somebody he's listening to is making the decisions, and so that's where I believe, in this case, Michelle Bachmann or Newt Gingrich would have the edge, because they've been there. They've been in the trenches, so to speak. Gingrich much longer than Michelle, and Gingrich has been responsible for many, many. I mean, he was responsible way back during the Clinton administration and even before that for big changes in our government that actually made the government work. And then he messed around with his wife and screw it all up. But
that and he also has issue with not knowing what pocket money's going into. I mean, he was asked a direct question. He says, "Oh, you're not focusing on the debate. You're focusing on an accounting issue." And you know, follow the money, folks. Follow the money. I don't trust Newt Gingrich.
I definitely.
Anyway, 5 minutes remaining in the program. Bradley, did you want to jump in with anything?
No.
Okay. I just woke him up.
Actually, Cindy answered for him. But anyway, it's just I really learned a lot from the debate. I'm not what I expected to learn from the debate, except that basically there are an awful lot of people who do think and do actually consider what we're going through as a problem. But the biggest thing that I learned, I think, is that this whole big hole in our economy is not over. We've got to worry about the deficit ceiling. Right? That's going to be the major thing. And everybody says, well, we've got to raise the deficit or we're in trouble. We can't. If we do raise the deficit, we are really in trouble, because it'll continue on. So we've got to do major things to our government, and I don't think we can do it if we stay with the administration that we have. I know we can't do it if we stay with the administration we have. But I want somebody in there, be it Gingrich, be it Michelle. Those are the only two that I saw on there. There are a couple of others who have had some experience but didn't have as good of answers. And those are the two that I know who have had the experience that are possibly electable.
Okay, I want to put a quick question to the roundtable. We got 3 minutes remaining, so I'll make your answer short. With Obama running for office again, you know, they're trying to make it sound like he's the best thing out there. Has anybody on the roundtable, and I'll start off with Cindy, heard anybody praise Obama and wanting to vote for him?
I can say that I mean, other than dyed-in-the-wool Democrats that believe that he having a Democrat in that office is way better than having someone with an R behind their name, but from what I've heard and what I've read to date, I haven't heard any particular think tank, say we need another 4 years of President Obama. In fact, he was even joking that he was meeting with a group of in a private meeting down in Miami with some donors, and he said, quote, "It's not as cool to be an Obama supporter as it was in 2008 with all the posters and all that stuff." So he's saying, and he's conceding, that at last time he ran, he was a blank slate that people could attach their aspirations to. And as he seeks re-election, he's self-aware that, you know, it's going to be a totally different campaign.
Okay. Bradley, 30 seconds or less.
I don't think his mic's working properly.
Okay. I haven't heard anybody really do anything positive or say anything positive about Obama, except for, like what Cindy was saying, that they're going to vote along party lines. Cliff, 30 seconds.
Well, you know, I have heard he's done some things that were actually good. He's passed some little bills here and there that are good for people and things. But the majority of the major things that he's done, not only has he done them sort of on the – he's also done them, I won't say wrong. The result is going to be very, very disastrous for us. So he hasn't done everything wrong, but he has done very little right, is all I can say.
And that's all the time we have on the show today, folks. So, again, send us an email, talk@caribbeanradio.com, if you have any comments about this or show suggestions. A suggestion from one of our listeners. We're always open for any type of input that you have. So we'll be back again next Wednesday, 10 a.m. Pacific time. And be sure to join us.
And we'll get in just as much trouble as we're getting in today. Well,
have a great week, y'all.
Everybody.
sure to check us out on the internet at www.krbnradio.com or email us with your show ideas at talk@krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.